Welcome to Bible Fellowship Assembly Sunday Morning Messages. Today, Trevor McNulty continues our series of messages from the lives of some of the kings of Judah. Today, looking at King Zechariah. And now, here's Trevor.
Good morning, everyone. We learn of Hezekiah in the Kings, 2 Kings, 2 Chronicles, and Isaiah. So there's about 10 chapters there we're going to be bouncing between. So I will invite you at times to turn, but there's going to be, as always, a lot of scripture reading to learn about Hezekiah and his kingship and the country that he reformed. And let's just go to the Lord in prayer and ask for his spirit to speak to us. Dear Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you'll teach us the lessons that you wish to teach us about King Hezekiah and how we can apply it to our lives here. Lord, we just pray that you'll just work through me and just that you are the one speaking. Amen. So King Hezekiah ruled in Judah over the period of 29 years between 716 to 686 B.C., He was known as a good king. He made a lot of really wise, good decisions. Namely, his decision to seek after the Lord. And what more important decision can one make? So in 2 Chronicles 29:1-2, it says, Hezekiah began to reign when he was 25 years old, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abijah, and the daughter of Zechariah. And he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord according to all that David his father had done. So at 25 years old, Hezekiah began to reign. That is quite young, especially in today's standards. Back then, some kings ruled at 14. But, you know, the maturity rate must have been much faster. But but he was reigning at 25. And if you look at what it says in verse 2, it says that he, according to his father David, what he had done. Why does it say this? Hezekiah's father was not David. It was Azah. I'm probably going to butcher a lot of names this morning. Sorry about that. But this was not a reference to his physical father, but it was a reference to the spiritual father that he was falling in line with. As we're going to see, David's pursuit and his kingship was known for his pursuit of the Lord. Even though David made major mistakes, he pursued the Lord. And his kingdom was representative of that pursuit. Hezekiah was returning Judah to that pursuit, that the kingdom would be following the Lord, no other gods. And 2 Chronicles 29 3, it says, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. He brought in the priests and the Levites and assembled them in the square on the east and said to them, hear me, Levites, now consecrate yourself and consecrate the house of the Lord, the God of your fathers, and carry out the filth from the holy place. What a good start. What a great start. Right away, first month, first year of his reign, we're ridding our kingdom of false idols. We are ridding the kingdom of anything that was counter to the Lord. And that is, you just can't get better than that. You can't prioritize better than that. You got down to business, and he went straight at it. And it says in verse 6 as we carry on, that for our fathers have been unfaithful and have done what is evil in the sight of the Lord our God. For they have forsaken him and turned away their faces from the habitation of the Lord and turned their backs. They also shut the doors of the vestibules and put out the lamps and have not burned incense or offered burnt offerings in the holy place to the God of Israel. Now it is in my heart to make a covenant with the Lord, the God of Israel, in order that his fierce anger may turn away from us. My sons, now do not now be negligent, for the Lord has chosen you to stand in his presence, to minister to him and to be his ministers, to make offerings to him. Verse 16. The priest went into the inner part of the house of the Lord and cleansed it. This was Solomon's temple that we're discussing here. So years after planning and building and the struggle of the nation to get this temple rebuilt, obviously it was abandoned and the idols were able to get in there. And Hezekiah is now cleansing that temple, which Solomon had worked to construct, that David had wanted constructed, but was not able to, that the Lord said it would be your son who would bring the temple. Using the Lord's things for false worship and worshiping false idols and false things grieves the Lord greatly. Hezekiah understood this and he cleansed it out. And Solomon's temple project was finished in 957 BC. And we're talking about events in 716 BC. But there was a lot of history between those dates. But Hezekiah said, I am going to return it. And he's going to do what was right in the eyes of the Lord. And 2 Kings records the cleansing of the temple this way and beyond. He said, 2 Kings 18, 3 and 5. It says, and he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. He removed the high places and broke the pillars and cut down the Asherah. He broke in pieces the bronze servant that Moses had made, for until those days the people of Israel had made offerings to it. He trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel, so that there was none like him among all the kings of Judah after him, nor those who were before him. Hezekiah's father was Uzziah, as we said, and he let in an unprecedented amount of idolatry into Judah. Hezekiah pulled a 180. He said, I want nothing to do with that. I am going to return this kingdom to the Lord, reestablish the priests, the Levites, temple worship, and we are going to invite those in Israel, the divided kingdom, to join them. So he put out an invitation when all things were ready. Now Hezekiah, he had some interesting political issues and situations to deal with as well. See, the northern kingdom of Israel had been reduced to a province of Assyria at this time. Hezekiah's father had ignored the advice of Isaiah and aligned himself with the Assyrian king. And the nation of Assyria was well known for their idol worship, and that all came in to Judah as a result of Uzziah's relation to the king of Assyria. Hezekiah was aware of these things and the risks involved in reforming the policy of Judah, because in order to do what he wants to do, he would be unaligning himself with Assyria. But he knew that he had to reinstitute the worship of the one true God of Israel. And the risks that this posed were well worth it to Hezekiah. In 2 Kings 18, 7, 9, and 12, it says, and the Lord was with him. Wherever he went out, he prospered. He rebelled against the king of Assyria and would not serve him. In the fourth year of King Hezekiah, which was the seventh year of Hosha, the son of Ela, the king of Israel, Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, came up against Samaria and besieged it. And at the end of 3 years, he took it. In the sixth year of Hezekiah, which was the ninth year of Hosha, king of Israel, Samaria was taken. The king of Assyria carried away the Israelites to Assyria and put them in Halah, and on the Habar, the river of Gozan, in the city of the Medes, because they did not obey the voice of the Lord their God, but transgressed his covenant. That's very important. Even all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded, they neither listened nor obeyed. So Israel had their, was besieged, lost their children, their wives, and a lot of them had been hauled off by the Assyrians. And Hezekiah is watching this happen to the north, and he said, I'm going to follow the Lord anyways. I'm not going to play nice with the king of Assyria, but I'm going to stand firm for the Lord and break this alliance that had protected Judah to that point. Hezekiah knew where the true protection lies, and that is in the Lord. So Hezekiah was proving faithful in his life. He did a lot of great things. Yet, however, in Isaiah 38, 1 to 6, we hear of some potential tragedy that is going to come to Hezekiah's life. It says, in those days, Hezekiah became sick and was at the point of death. Prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, came to him and said, thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die. You shall not recover. Then Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord. And said, please, O Lord, remember how I have walked before you in faithfulness with a whole heart and have done what is right in your sight. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Then the word of the Lord came to Isaiah. Go and say to Hezekiah, thus says the Lord, the God of David your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Behold, I will add 15 years to your life. I will deliver you and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. The Lord listened to the petition of his servant, Hezekiah, and he honored the request. How are we doing in this area? Are we crying out to God in prayer and in trust and in faith that God can actually grant us our prayers? That he can change our fates in these ways, that we lay our trust down and say that, you know, if he chooses not to heal us or save us, that he has a grander purpose, but that we still bring forth our petitions anyways because he wants to hear from us, that he hears the cries of our hearts? Well, Hezekiah did, and he got 15 years extended to his life. And he was faithful to the Lord, and he was seeking him in all sorts of ways. And Hezekiah did not get angry or bitter. He didn't moan and just have a pity party that his life was going to be over. But yet, in a moment of real truth and just one-on-oneness, that he just spoke to the Lord and shared his heart. And he said, I have walked before you in faithfulness with a whole heart, with done good in your sight. And before that he said, remember me, O Lord. It could be that simple, that we just seek the Lord. And it's not a promise. Healing is not a promise, but he can do it. And he can do many greater things. Now, even though Hezekiah had all these great things, as always, there's always great mess-ups. And we go on to the story now of the Babylonians heard of Hezekiah's illness, and they sent an envoy to Judah to see him. And that's what we'll read in 2 Kings 20, 12 and 19. At that time, Merodach-Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent envoys with letters and presents to Hezekiah, for he heard that Hezekiah had been sick. And Hezekiah welcomed them, and he showed them all of his treasures in his house, the silver, the gold, the spices, the precious oils, his armory, all that was found in his storehouses. There is nothing in his house or in all of the realm that Hezekiah did not show them. Interesting. Then Isaiah the prophet came to Hezekiah and said to him, "What did these men say? And from where did they come to you?" And Hezekiah said, "They have come from a faraway country, from Babylon." In verse 15 he says, "What have they seen in your house?" And Hezekiah answered him, "They have seen all that is in my house. There is nothing in my storehouses that I did not show them." Well, that's not very smart. Then Hezekiah said to him, "Hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the days are coming that all that is in your house and that which your fathers have stored up till this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, says the Lord, and some of your own sons will come, who will come from you, whom you will father, will be taken away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon." Then Hezekiah said to Isaiah, "The word of the Lord that you have spoken is good." Okay. For he thought, "Why not, if there will be peace and security in my days?" Well, that's a bit of an interesting take. He's a great king. We're not taking that away from him. But in a moment of kind of, could have been from pride. It could have been just from being just too relaxed, too casual, that living in the days of the plenty, having all these things, having God on your side, having protection, having wealth, and all these things, that he just got too casual and decides, well, I'm going to, maybe there was a bit of bragging in there. Possibly look at what we've got. Look at all the gold and everything, the power. And, that's not a good thing to show your potential enemy. And he paid for it, but not him, interestingly enough. It was his future generations. And I find that a very weird response to be like, well, okay then, as long as it's not my time. That's not great leadership at all. But we all make our mistakes. But the key here is that actions have consequences. His actions had consequences. He showed the vulnerabilities of his kingdom to the Babylonians. And then they were doomed to be carted off to a land of idols, which holds some irony, as his work was to cleanse Judah of idols and of all these things. And he does these actions and his people end up getting dragged off to a land of idol worship. So that is sad. But let's go on and look at the good that Hezekiah has done. So between his illness, the Babylonians, and Hezekiah was still dealing with the Assyrians. So it was 10 years after the attack on the northern kingdom, Israel, that is Assyrian king Sennacherib attacked Judah. Hezekiah attempted to pay off the Assyrian king with the gold, the silver, trying to sweet talk his way out of the conflict. And that backfired for sure. And the Assyrian kings had sent his messengers to taunt, to insult the God of Israel and Judah, and to taunt Hezekiah. So when Hezekiah heard what the Assyrian Rabshakeh had said, he tore his clothes and, in a moment of wisdom, resought the Lord through his prophet Isaiah. We'll look at that story here in 2 Chronicles 32, 1-8. After these things and acts of faithfulness, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and invaded Judah and encamped against the fortified cities, thinking to win them for himself. And when Hezekiah saw that the Sennacherib had come and intended to fight against Jerusalem, he planned with his officers and his mighty men to stop the water of the springs that were outside of the city, and they helped him. A great many people were gathered, and they all stopped the springs and the brooks that flowed through the land, saying, "Why should the kings of Assyria come and find much water?" And he set to work resolutely to build up the walls that were broken down and raised up towers upon it. And outside he built another wall and strengthened the Milo in the city of David. He also made weapons and shields in abundance and set combat commanders over the people and gathered them together in the square and at the gate of the city and spoke encouragingly to them, saying, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or dismayed before the king of Assyria and all of the horde that is with them. For there are more of us than with him. With us is an arm of flesh. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight to win our battles." And the people took confidence from the words of Hezekiah, the king of Judah. So Hezekiah put his faith in winning the battle in the Lord, not in himself, not in the might of his people, in the Lord. But that being said, he also didn't stand idle. You have to do, trust means action. If you don't trust, you don't move forward. It's important. Just a personal reference to that is we were in Thunder Bay on one of our travels this summer. We went to Owemet Canyon, and when we were standing at the edge of the canyon at one spot, we knew that there was Canada's longest suspension bridge crossing that canyon at another point. And I initially said, "There's no way I'm crossing this on a suspension bridge. No way." It was scary. It was large. And we get there to the place, and the trust required me to be like, I trust that these cables are going to hold, I trust different things. You have to step forward. And that is what Hezekiah did here. He said, "I trust in you, Lord, and I trust that you're going to guide my steps, and I trust that we are going to prepare and be ready for what you have." And that is very important in our lives. Trust and faith without action, it's not much trust and not much faith. Do not sit idle. So he built the towers, he repaired the damaged wall, he produced shields, weapons, organized the army, concealed the water, kept it for himself, which was a brilliant move, because also you don't know how long this battle's going to be. You need water. And the army attacking you needs water too. And you take that resource away from them, that is a major strategic, very brilliant move to do. This tunnel that they made through the rock was 1,777 feet from Gihon to Siloam Pool. And not only that, they extended out the walls of Jerusalem and enclosed all the water that was left. And that takes a lot of work, a lot of faith, and a lot of action. The Assyrians were harsh in their threats and in their mockery of Judah and the God of Judah. They were a kingdom directly opposed to God. And we're going to look at in Isaiah 36, 12 and 20 as to what were these taunts? What were these threats? The Rabshakeh taunted the people of Judah, saying, "Has my master sent me to speak these words to your master and to you? Not to these men sitting on the wall who are doomed to with you to eat their own dung and drink their own urine." Then the Rabshakeh stood and called out in a loud voice in the language of Judah, and he said, "Hear the words of the great king, the king of Assyria. Thus says the king, do not let Hezekiah deceive you, for he will not be able to deliver you. Do not let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord by saying, 'The Lord will surely deliver us.' This city will not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Do not listen to Hezekiah, for thus says the king of Assyria, make your peace with me and come out to me. Then each one of you will eat and drink of his own vine and of his own fig tree. And each one of you will drink the water from his own cistern until I come and take you away from the land like you own, a land of grain and wine, a land of bread and vineyards. Beware lest Hezekiah mislead you by saying, 'The Lord will deliver us.' Has any god of any of the nations delivered his land out of the hand of the king of Assyria? Where are the gods of Hamath and Arpad? Where are the gods of Sepharvaim? Have they delivered Samaria out of my hand? Who among all the gods of these lands have delivered their lands out of my hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem out of my hand?" Well, first off, in 2 Kings 19, 1-2, it shows how he tore his clothes, put on the sackcloth, and went into the house of the Lord. And he sought out the prophet Isaiah. And what did Isaiah have? What was the message Isaiah gave him? In Isaiah 37, 16-20, he said, he prayed, "O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, enthroned above the cherubim, you are the God, you alone of all the kings of the earth. You have made the heavens and the earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see and hear all the words of the Sennacherib, which he has sent to mock the living God. Truly, O Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste to all the nations and their lands. They have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but the work of man's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they were destroyed. So now the Lord our God, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are the alone are the Lord." His prayer was that all the kingdoms of the earth would know that you alone are the Lord. The honor belongs to the Lord. So how did God receive this message from Hezekiah and his actions, his attitudes, and his prayers? His heart to have the world see one true God. In Isaiah 37 it says, "Therefore thus says the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city or shoot an arrow there or come before it with a shield or cast up a siege a mound against it. By the way he came, by the same he shall return, and he shall not come into this city, declares the Lord. For I will defend this city and save it, for my own sake and for the sake of my servant David." And the angel of the Lord went out and struck down 185,000 in the camp of the Assyrians. And when the people rose early in the morning, behold, these were all dead bodies. Then Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and returned home and lived at Nineveh. And while he was worshipping in the house of Nishrok, his god, Armeldelik and Shezner, his sons, struck him down with the sword. And after they escaped to the land of Arad, Eshradan, his son, reigned in his place. How amazing. The victory was won without a single shot. Without anything. God caused confusion in the camps of the Assyrians with the angel of the Lord killing 185,000. He brought in within Assyria itself, using his own sons to kill the king of Assyria. God interceded on the behalf of the Judean army. And God said, why? He said, I will defend this city and save it for my own sake. You see, God had made promises to Israel and Judah that they were his people. And God does not intend to break that promise. God does not break promises. God does things along the way to let us know that he is God, the only God. God, in his infinite wisdom, spoke through Isaiah in 701 BC, predicting this event. In verse 8 of Isaiah 31, it says, and the Assyrians shall fall by a sword, not of man, and a sword not of man shall devour him, and he shall flee from the sword, and his young men shall be put to forced labor. His rock shall pass away in terror, and his officers desert the standard in panic. God knew this was going to happen. And God is in control of all things. He is known from the foundations of the world to the end of everlasting what is going to happen. He is in control of all things. So in conclusion, Hezekiah was a good king. He did great things for Judah. He was faithful to the Lord. He brought back the worship to the temple, brought back the true God. He made many great decisions. However, his boasting and naivety did cost the kingdom in the future greatly, as they were forced into Babylon, into exile. And, you know, that was not a great moment. Attempted to pay off the king of Assyria to the extent of peeling the gold off of the doorpost of the temple. We're all learning moments for us all. Don't rely on your money, your strength, your power. Rely on the Lord. And the future generations need us to be strong in the Lord and to create a culture here in our kingdom of Timmins and Ontario and Canada for the Lord. We are not in political power. We're not, you know, we don't have that ability, but we do have the abilities the Lord has given us in our own circles to make sure that we are furthering his kingdom here, and we are showing everybody that we have an effect on that the Lord, our God, is the true God and deserves all praise, all honor and glory. Hezekiah's strength was his ability to involve the Lord in his life, to seek his guidance, to rely on his strength and standing firm in the Lord. So we must seek these things for ourselves, rid ourselves of idols, worship the Lord, and bring the glory to him. Amen.
And Father, we do ask that we would be encouraged in your presence to trust in you, as we've been hearing this morning. May we put our faith, trust, and hope in you, and help us to be not afraid of all of the forces that oppose, but may we look to you and keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, that you would, through him, show us the way forward in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. Come back next week for the next Sunday morning message from Bible Fellowship Assembly. Visit us on the web at bfa.church, where you will find our physical address and contact information. We'd love to see you if you're in the Timmins area, or drop us a line at info@bfa.church. Until next time.